You can find this podcast and others at Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
I'm Bob Main, and you're listening to another episode of the Middle of the Week MSP Modern Self-Protection Podcast, normally hosted by Ben Branham, but just like Ben filled in for me last week, I'm filling in for him during this Middle of the Week show. He's out, he's not on vacation, but he's out doing a lot of work because he was on vacation. He's got a lot of catch-up to do, so I'm kind of returning the favor for him filling in for me last week. So as I cruise down the freeway in the Handgun World mobile studio, I'm on Interstate 10 in South Texas, headed out on a business trip. You know, if some of you have been listening to me for a while, you know that I live in South Texas, San Antonio to be exact. I'm a Yankee with a gun, born in New York City, raised in Wisconsin, but now I live in the great gun-friendly state of Texas. Been here so long now that Texas pretty much kind of seems like my home. Wisconsin's always in my heart, but Texas kind of pretty much is my home now. I've been here so many years. However, I'm still going to say this for those of you out there who are sports fans. I'm still going to say, go Packers. I know they sucked last week against the Giants, but they will be back. Okay, this episode is going to be about 10 things not to do when carrying concealed. I find that there's people out there that do some pretty interesting things that might not be a real good idea when you're carrying a concealed handgun. There's an article in usacarry.com that I'm going to reference when I do this this podcast here. Matt Schluter, I think that's how he pronounces his name, is he's a writer for Outdoors Magazine, and he contributed this pretty good article for usacarry.com. As usual, I will put a link in the show notes at handgunworld.com, and also for the very specific thread that I start on the Gun Rights Radio Network forum. So either one, whichever you're looking at, you'll see links. You can read this article in its entirety. But as I read through this, I actually thought to myself, you know, I've done some of this in the past. And it really wasn't all that good of an idea. So here we go. 10 things not to do when carrying a concealed handgun. Okay, number one, something talked about by a lot of people all the time, printing. And for those of you who are kind of new, maybe you're just getting into this, because I do know that there are a lot of people who are new to guns that are listening to my show, because I get emails from them. Basically, printing is allowing the gun to show through your clothing. In other words, allowing the outline of the gun to show right through whatever concealment garment that you're using. If people can look and they can still tell it's a gun, even though it's under your shirt or your coat, if they can still tell that it's a gun, that's printing. And every state law has a different definition of printing. You know, here in Texas, printing is technically against the law. There's a lot of misconceptions about printing. They try to make the case that you're brandishing, but not really. I mean, here in Texas, the way the law is and the way the law is enforced is that, yeah, technically you could be cited for a crime in Texas, even if you got your shirt over your gun and people can still see that it's a gun, but were you brandishing it? Nah, you weren't really brandishing it. Now, if I show my gun to somebody with the intent for them to know that it's a gun, that's brandishing. In other words, if I lift up my shirt or something and they see it, that's brandishing. Now, by the letter of the law, if somebody can tell that I'm carrying a gun, then they consider that brandishing here in Texas, and it is a crime to print per se, but the way that law enforcement typically treats it, yeah, you know, it's kind of a gray area. The problem is it's a real pain in the butt here in Texas because you really have to cover up and conceal well to avoid trouble. Here's the good thing, though. The good thing is we're a gun-friendly state. So the fact that we're a gun-friendly state, very few people care whether I'm carrying a gun. If they could tell I was carrying a gun, they probably wouldn't care anyway. You know, I mean, we're such a gun-friendly state. Yeah, I might run into some kook in a grocery store, for example, somebody that is just so freaked out by guns. Oh, my God, this thing's going to jump out of his holster and shoot us all in the store. You know, there are people who probably think that nonsense. And, yeah, they might call 911 and say, there's a man in here. I'm trying to buy groceries, and there's a man walking up and down the aisle with a gun. You know, which would be a ridiculous call for them to make, but it wouldn't surprise me. So we got to make sure that we're concealed. Thankfully, it's not that hard anymore to conceal. It's a piece of cake. With all the good holsters and the good belts. In the recent podcast I did a few weeks ago, I reviewed a bunch of holsters. Some that I like are Concealment Solutions. Dale Fricke holsters, for those of you who like to appendix carry. They conceal a decent-sized gun so well. Remora holsters are very, very good. A listener who has also been to one of my training classes let me borrow. Actually, no, he gave me. Not let me borrow. He gave me some Remora holsters as a gift. I really like them. They're great. And all the good belts out there, there's one called Sturdy Belt. A listener named David who listens to this show is making what's called a Sturdy Belt. And once he's ready to come on the show and interview about the Sturdy Belt that he's making, I'm going to have him on. I've been wearing it now for a couple of weeks, and it's great. It's really good. Jason Christensen makes excellent belts over at Concealment Solutions called Python Gun Belts. One of my all-time favorites is the Wilderness Tactical belt, the frequent flyer version. I've had mine now for about 3 years. It's in great shape. I love it. It really works. You can go through the TSA security screen with it on. I've done it. They didn't know. Never set off any of the detectors. And things are great. So, you know, it's so easy to conceal guns these days, even decent-sized guns. And I have some more ideas for you on how to avoid printing. But that's one real bad habit that people make. Another one is called exposing. And I kind of alluded to this exposing thing a little earlier here. The definition of exposing is allowing the handgun or the holster, excuse me, allowing the handgun and holster to unintentionally show itself in plain view in public. Notice I said unintentionally. In other words, if somebody can see the gun or the holster and it's in plain view. Oh no, look at that, he's got a gun. Okay, be cautious when you're reaching upward, when you're leaning forward, or you're leaning sideways, or you're kneeling down, or you're reaching for something in your pockets. Now, one of the best ways to avoid this is proper selection of clothing. I have the luxury of being able to wear a lot of untucked shirts. I wear a lot of what I call camp shirts. Untucked shirts with the straight tails, and they've got collars, and, you know, my company supplies some with our company logo. Those things rarely ever, you know, blow up in the wind. You know, they rarely ever ride up, is what I'm trying to say. The wind doesn't usually blow them around. Usually when I'm reaching for something, if I'm in a grocery store or a convenience store and I'm trying to pull something off of a shelf, they usually don't ride up and high enough to expose my gun or my holster. The big problem you have is if you're wearing, you know, relatively tight garments. And then again, you know, you really couldn't conceal a very decent-sized gun if you're wearing a tight shirt because it's going to print like crazy. So if the shirt's the proper length, I like to make sure that when I buy shirts that they're long enough. I don't get short-cut shirts that are easy to, you know, ride up. But be careful of that. These are just bad habits to avoid. I'm talking about bad habits. Like I said, one of them in Texas is a legal problem, but most of these are just bad habits. And let me tell you why you want to try to avoid these. First of all, for you, it's embarrassing. And I think if you commit too many bad habits and you have some embarrassing experiences when carrying your gun, guess what? You probably won't carry it. That's just, you know, if people have a bad experience doing something, they probably just aren't going to do it very often. And that's a shame, because you need to carry your guns, because there's bad people out there. Those of us who carry guns, we're law-abiding citizens. We don't go looking for trouble, but sometimes trouble finds us, and so we have to deal with it. So be careful of exposing. Now, the next one I used to do a lot. I used to catch myself doing this, touching. Now, for those of you who have dirty minds, and I'm talking about exposing and touching, get your minds out of the gutter, okay? I'm talking about guns here. I'm not talking about something else. But here's the touching habit that people have when they're concealed carrying a handgun. Touching is the habit of touching or repositioning the handgun or the holster or an accessory in plain view. Okay? Don't reposition it. Don't grab it. Don't, you know, if it's uncomfortable, try to find some place where you're not going to be out in plain sight and then reposition your gun. Okay? Just, you know, be careful with that. You know, find a restroom or go in there or something. Find a restroom or get around a corner. Go somewhere where you're not easily seen if you really must reposition your gun or touch it when it's in the holster. Leave it alone. The only time you should be touching your gun is if you have to draw it to use it or when you get home and you're going to disarm. It's the only time. Now, do the guns move around sometimes? Yep, sometimes they can. Now, here's one thing about a good holster. A good holster is going to keep the gun in place. A good holster and a good belt is going to keep the gun where you put it. So make sure it's in a comfortable spot before you leave home. Now, if you're like me and you get in and out of cars a lot, sometimes I have to reposition the gun when I'm riding in my car. I still like to appendix carry when I'm in my vehicle. And oftentimes I carry it at about 3:30 when I'm in my vehicle. A lot of it depends on the seats. I have two different cars. The normal Handgun World Mobile Studio, my old car, it has got seats where they don't wrap around you, so, or not that much anyway. So it's pretty easy to carry at about 3:30 when I'm in that car. But my wife's car's got different seats. She has leather seats. They kind of wrap around you a little bit. It makes behind-the-hip carry kind of uncomfortable. So in that case, I will usually pick a holster, or I'll move the holster more towards the front of my body or more towards the appendix position when I do that. And I select a different holster if I can. But either way, it's comfortable, and that's where it stays. Don't touch it. Don't try to reposition it. But if you must, or if it slides out of position or whatever, well, when I'm in my car, very few people see me. That's not the same as being out in public. So I can reposition it while I'm in my car. Now, here's another bad habit. I used to do this one, too. This one I used to, you know, this was a bad habit of mine. Looking. That's the habit of looking at your concealed carry gear to verify if it's there or to make sure it's still concealed. All right, try to avoid this. Don't look. Now, the more you carry a gun, the more used to the fact you're going to get to the fact that it's there. Okay, you're going to say, hey, okay, I know the gun's there, and I don't have to look at it. When you get used to wearing certain types of clothes, I don't have to look to see if my shirt fell back down in place over my gun, because I know it did. Because I've worn this type of shirt so many different times that I know it's back in place. And I know how far I reached and stuff like that. Don't look at it, especially in public. If people see you looking at your gun, well, guess what? Where your eyes go, that's where their eyes are going to go. And it's much more likely to see that you're carrying a gun, especially if you're directing people's eyes to it. Here's one thing that's great about carrying a gun when you're out in public. The general public is kind of oblivious. Have you ever noticed that? They're kind of clueless. They're oblivious. So many of them are sheep. So many of the general public are just sheep. And they're just not paying attention. They're too busy texting somebody on their iPhone. They're too busy yakking to the person that they're with or doing whatever. The last thing that they're looking for is to see if you're carrying a gun. Most of the general public doesn't even realize that people carry guns a lot. You know that? They don't. I mean, they just don't. That's how sheepish they are. They just simply don't even realize. They don't get it that there's people out there carrying guns for self-protection. Because we have a right to. Now, unfortunately, there's not enough people carrying guns, but there's more than the general public actually thinks. But they don't get it. They're just not paying attention. So that's one luxury. Well, don't make them pay attention to your gun by looking at it. It's a bad habit. I used to do that a lot. Okay? Learn how to subtly screen your movements or distract somebody who's looking at you so that the possibility of you exposing their gun or them seeing it is reduced. And again, the best way to solve this is if you really have to look at your concealed handgun, go somewhere where it's more private. Get in your car, go into a restroom, get around a corner, whatever. Try to be somewhere where there's not a lot of people staring at you. Otherwise, if you're in an area where there's a lot of people looking at you, don't touch or look at your weapon. Those are giveaways. Now, another bad habit is telegraphing, and telegraphing is basically giving away the fact that you might be carrying or preparing for action. And you can kind of, you know, a lot of people will telegraph unintentionally. And there's different types of telegraphing. There's active telegraphing. Active telegraphing is this: body language and motions, like getting into a combat stance without any necessity for you to do that. Okay, or it might also include some kind of a noise that your weapons make. You know, maybe you've got some holster creak or something like that. You know, a squeaky holster. You ever have one of those? If you got a squeaky holster, figure out why it's squeaking, and if you can't make it squeak, get a different holster that doesn't squeak. I just don't use them that make a lot of noise. Okay, if you get a bunch of loose ammunition in a magazine or something like that, and it's rattling around, of course, that's never happened to me, but, you know, there's all kinds of things that could cause that. But don't make your body language. That's the most important thing, is body language and your motions. Don't show people that you're telegraphing. You want to act as nonchalant as possible. You want to act like you do every day. You want to act like there's nothing different about you whatsoever. Walk around like you own the place and that there's nothing different about you. Now, this comes with time. I have to say, I was a little bit paranoid the first 2 or 3 weeks I started carrying a gun. So I'm talking to you new gun carriers here for a moment. I was a bit paranoid. You know, I was thinking, oh no, you know, are people seeing this? Can they see it? Oh man, I can see the grip just a little bit. Boy, can somebody else see that? No, they can't. If your grip is sticking out a quarter of an inch, folks, they can't see that. Besides that, let me tell you something about printing. Let me go back to printing for a minute. Have you ever seen somebody wearing a t-shirt and shorts and they got a big iPhone or a big Samsung phone or some kind of massive big cell phone in a holster? You ever seen them do that? Right? Look how much that phone prints. And does anybody really care that big iPhone or whatever it is that they're carrying is printing through their t-shirt? Do you care? Does anybody care? Nobody cares. So if your gun, if the grip of your gun is protruding through your shirt a quarter of an inch, that's less than the guy next to you who's got a big fat iPhone on his belt. Don't worry about it. It's your own paranoia getting the best of you, and it's happened to me. I have to admit, it's happened to me. Calm down. Don't worry about it. People can't see that. And besides that, even if they could see a quarter of an inch or a half an inch of grip, how can they tell that's a gun? They can't tell that's a gun, right? Does that produce an outline of a pistol? Now, if you got a skin-tight shirt on or something like that, and you can see the perfect outline of the revolver the guy's carrying, well, that's a different story. Okay, now, but again, you don't wear clothes like that, and you're not going to have a problem. But getting back to active telegraphing, don't do body language and motions that give it away. Passive telegraphing is another one. And I kind of alluded to this, but there's more. Passive telegraphing is where you wear items of clothing that might indicate that you're carrying a gun or that you're involved with firearms. I'll give you an example. 2 days ago at the time I'm recording this podcast, I went to a dinner at our church. It's an annual dinner that our church has, and we have a lot of people there. I'm sitting at my table, and there's all these round tables in the church life center. And I'm looking at the table across from me in the Life Center, and there's a guy sitting there with a cap that says Springfield XDM. Now, I'm sure he's proud of his Springfield XDM pistol that he probably bought, and that's why he's got the hat. But that's a giveaway, folks. Wearing your shirt that says Glock Shooting Sports is probably not the most practical thing to wear when you're out concealed carrying. You know, wearing a From My Cold Dead Hands shirt might not be that smart either. I know, folks, that you're proud of being members of the NRA, you're proud of your gun rights, you're proud of the Springfield XDMs that you own, you're proud of, you know, the Glock that you shoot in competition. I know you're proud of all that, you know, but that's probably not the smartest thing. Clothes with gun logos, gun names, shooting sports names, things like that, probably not a good idea. Because here's the problem with that. An onlooker might see that, they might see the original indicator like that Springfield XDM cap you're wearing, and then think, oh, you know what? This guy might be a gun carrier. Let me start to look. And remember earlier I was saying people are generally sheep. They're not paying attention. They're not looking to see if you're carrying a gun. Well, don't give them a reason to look. Don't wear a cap that says Kimber on it or something like that that gives them a reason to start looking to see, because they might know what a Kimber is. They might know what a Springfield XDM is. They might know what a Glock is, because Glock's a very recognizable name. If you wear a Smith & Wesson cap, I will guarantee you 99 people out of 100, and maybe even all 100, they know who Smith & Wesson is. They know what Smith & Wesson does and what they make, and it will be a dead giveaway. Don't give them cause to start looking for your gun. Okay, let me move on. Another bad habit that concealed carriers typically make: bumping or sounding. In other words, making contact with an artificial surface, with an artificial surface, excuse me. When you make contact with some kind of a surface, or when you bump into someone, the weapon might make a sound, or somebody might feel it when you bump into them. They might feel your gun. This is one of the reasons why I like holsters that really hold the pistol tight to my body, especially if I'm going to be in a crowded environment. It's also the reason why I like to pocket carry when I'm in crowds, because it's very unlikely that a pistol in my pocket, it's very unlikely that somebody's going to feel that when I bump into him. Okay, or a gun that's real small and thin, like my Smith & Wesson Shield or my Carr PM9, are ideal guns to use when I'm going to be in a crowded environment, because in the right holsters, like for example, my favorite holster is the Micro Mamba for my Carr PM9, the Micro Mamba that Jason at Concealment Solutions makes. That thing conceals my Carr PM9 so well. I actually have bumped into people, and no one's felt it. They never said a word. So beware of making unnatural sounds that might give you away or that might give others away. The clunking of a pistol into a hard surface, a hard surface, like when you sit in a chair and there's like a big back to the chair, a big wood back or something, and all of a sudden you sit down and clunk. You know, people hear that pistol slamming into the hard surface. So carry it in such a way where when you sit down, it's not going to slam into something. Now, another bad habit of carrying concealed, and it's in this article that I'm referencing here, that I'm using as, these are my show notes that I've got taped. You know what I do, folks? I tape each page of my show notes onto the dashboard of my car. And I glance at them, also while maintaining my eyes on the road. I just glance at them, kind of like glancing in the rearview mirror. But instead of glancing in the rearview mirror, I glance at my notes. And then when I'm done with that page, I hit the pause button. I take that page off. I put the next page on my dashboard. And that's how I look at my notes when I'm driving. Works out great. Never had a problem with it yet. So in these notes, he's got forgetting, and that's one of the bad habits, is forgetting. Forgetting that you're carrying concealed. Now, I don't know about you, and I've heard that a lot, Right? You ever heard that? Remember when I did the podcast about kind of silly gun things that people say? Silly things that they say, like an armed society is a polite society. And that's not really true. Okay? A well-trained armed society is a polite society, but you have a lot of knuckleheads out there carrying guns. So they're armed, but they're knuckleheads, and they might not be very polite. Okay, so you might disagree with me on that, but that's kind of how I feel. Well, another saying that I hear all the time is, wow, that gun's so comfortable, or that holster's so comfortable, I forget that I'm carrying my gun. And I've said this in podcasts before. Who really forgets that they're carrying a gun? Because think about it. If you forget that you're carrying, how are you going to remember that your gun is there when you need it? So you don't really forget, do you? I hope not. I mean, if it's that comfortable to carry, then, okay, that's good, but boy, you better figure out a way to remember that you got it. Because if you're attacked and you have to defend your life and you forgot, well, then you're going to not reach for your pistol and protect yourself, will you? So see, we really don't forget, do we? Maybe now it's so comfortable that we take our mind off it for a little bit. So maybe that's how this should be worded. Instead of forgetting that you're carrying, you know, it gets so comfortable that you're just not thinking about it at that moment or most of the time. But if you're attacked, I sure hope you're reaching for that gun and you're drawing and you've trained well enough. Hopefully you've come to one of my classes that Ben and I teach, or you've come to one of my Suarez International classes, or you've taken a class somewhere, or a Mag 40 or something. Hopefully you've got some training that you know how to properly draw and be effective with that gun. But by God, don't forget that it's there. So think about it. Responsibility mandates that you not let this happen. But one of the reasons why it's a bad habit is because sometimes people will do things that they shouldn't be doing when they're carrying a gun. Like, for example, if you truly do forget you're carrying, and you go in and you sit down at a bar or a tavern or a restaurant and you get drunk. You have too many drinks. Well, now you got a real problem. Now you're drunk and you're carrying a gun. Bad combination. Bad juju there. Against the law, and not a very good combination. You're going to get in trouble. You're asking for trouble doing that. So don't be responsible. Don't forget. Another bad habit, is dropping. What that means is dropping an item like a magazine or something like that, or some ammo, or worse yet, dropping your gun from concealment. Now, the reason this happens is quite a bit because the equipment doesn't adequately have good retention. You either have a holster or a mag carrier or a mag pouch that doesn't have good retention. This is one of the reasons why I really like to carry my spare magazines in the DeSantis Magpacker, because it fits in my pocket. All right. So even if the Magpacker were not to retain the magazine, well, the magazine is just going to flip out of the Magpacker holster, but it's going to stay in my pocket and it won't go clunking along the ground and embarrassing me and everybody else around. So think about that. And by the way, some of you have been going to my everyday carry store on my website, and you've been buying the DeSantis Magpackers and some of the other items. Thank you. That helps support my show. You know what? If you want to find a little way to help support my show, go to my everyday carry store. If you go to my everyday carry store on my website, it says my EDC store. You'll see links there, a bunch of links for Amazon products. Or products you can buy on Amazon. They're all stuff that I use. Everything's either I carry it, or it's a part that I got on my gun, or a part that I have on my rifle, or stuff like that. You'll see the knives I carry, the flashlights I carry. And so if you want to buy any of that stuff, or you want to get a DeSantis Magpacker, or if you want to get anything from Amazon, go to my everyday carry store, click on one of the product links, and then you can shop for anything you want after that on Amazon, and I'll get a little bit of credit for it, so it'll help support my show. So check that out. Go to handgunworld.com, my EDC store, and also, too, if some of you want to buy Glenn Tate's book, I had him on here a few weeks back. He's the guy that did the podcast with me on preparedness called 299 Days. I have a recommended books section. Get Glenn's book through Amazon. through my store. And also, you'll see links there to buy C.R. Williams' book on gunfighting, the interview that I did a few weeks back with C.R. Williams. Both of them, excellent books. Okay, so dropping stuff, a bad, bad habit. It's either bad retention or just bad positioning of your gear. Now, I can't tell you exactly where to position stuff. I can't tell you where to put your spare mags, where to put your knife, where to put your flashlight. Ladies, if you're carrying a gun, hey, I got no experience with that. So, you're going to have to figure that stuff out. And I would suggest that you do it around home at first. Wear your pistol and all your accessories and everything else you're going to carry. Wear it around home. And you'll figure out if it's in a good position or if it's not. If you start bumping into things or if your mags start falling out of the mag pouches because the retention is not good enough, or if you got a holster that doesn't hold the gun well enough, or if you have a lot of printing going on or whatever, you'll be able to figure it out. So I might suggest if you're just new to concealed carry, start doing it at home. Carry around the house. You should carry around the house anyway. One time I had somebody ask me, Bob, really? Do you really carry around the house? Why? They asked me, why do you carry at home? Well, think about this. You ever heard of a home invasion? Okay? I mean, in your house could be a very likely place for you to need a gun. I have an old saying that says, if you think you go somewhere where you're never going to need a gun, or in other words, if you always try to avoid going places where you might need a gun, then don't go home. Seriously, if you really believe that you will always avoid places where you might need a gun, then don't go home. Because the chances of you needing a gun in your home are higher than you probably think. So it's a good idea to carry around home anyway. It's a good place to practice using your concealed carry gear. Your house, your yard, your private property. Nobody can do anything about you carrying on your private property anyway, no matter where you are. So anyway, those are the top 10 bad habits that people make when they're concealed carrying. Might have been 9, maybe 10. I think it was 10 that I covered there anyway. Think about that stuff. Because, again, it all goes back to if you commit these bad habits and you have unpleasant experiences when carrying, then you're not likely to carry on a regular basis. And I'm telling you, the secret to protecting yourself with a firearm is carrying on a regular basis. Rule number one of a gunfight. Most people say rule number one of a gunfight is to have a gun. I say that's rule number two, because rule number one of a gunfight is don't get in one. But if you're in one, okay, let's make rule number one, have a gun. Well, have a gun. Have a gun. So don't commit the bad habits of concealed carry, because then you might not have a gun. And if you don't have a gun when you really need it, well, what good has it done you? All that money you spent buying it, shooting it, the background check that you went through to get it, and all that, and all the time you spent getting your concealed carry license, then all of a sudden, God forbid, the bad day happens. Somebody is mugging you, robbing you, wants to kill you, busting into your house, whatever, and you don't have a gun. Tragedy. Now, I'm going to depart from this article, and I am going to add something of my own. I might add a couple things here of my own that are bad habits that Matt didn't cover in this article for USA Carry. And it's a good article. I didn't cover all of it. So you need to go look at all of it and read the whole thing. It's good stuff. But I'm going to add a couple of them here. And I'm going to preface this Sunday's podcast that's coming up, the regular weekly podcast, which I believe is episode 208, coming up shortly. So I'm going to kind of give you a sneak preview of some of the topics that will be covered in that. Another bad habit people make is getting the wrong gun. The wrong gun for their needs, for their concealed carry needs. And so what happens is they get the wrong gun, and then they don't carry it. They don't want to carry it. Sometimes they don't even want to shoot it. It just sits in their safe. It sits at home, locked up, or unloaded, or whatever. What good is it? You know, if your gun is sitting at home and it's safe or it's unloaded or it's locked up, all it is a conversation piece, maybe, and something to weight down your safe and something to talk about and maybe recreationally shoot and go out to the range and plink once in a while and then put it back in its case or put it back in its safe or unload it and lock it up. I mean, that's it. That's all it's good for. You have to carry it. You don't know when you're going to find trouble. Or you don't know when trouble's going to find you, do you? All right? Are we all that clairvoyant that we can just figure it out? We know exactly what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. You may have a perfect day planned out. You know exactly where you're going to be, and you know exactly when you're going to be there, and it doesn't go according to plan. How many of you listening to this right now can honestly say that everything goes according to plan every day? It doesn't. You might take a detour somewhere and find yourself in an area that you didn't plan on being, and then trouble starts and you don't have your gun. People sometimes buy the wrong gun. Now, what I mean by buy the wrong gun, I'm not going to give away all of episode 208. So wait till Sunday when it gets released and listen to episode 208, and I'll go into more detail. But sometimes people buy a gun too big. And it's so big that they don't want to carry it, but they got it because they thought it was cool, or somebody told them to get it, or they thought it'd be a fun range toy. Or sometimes they got a gun too small. Yeah, really, it's too small. And oh yeah, it's easy to carry, but it's no fun to shoot, and they don't want to have any part of carrying it or using it, so they just think it's easier to just leave in the safe. Seriously. So that's a bad habit in concealed carry as well. Pick your gun and pick it wisely. So I'm going to be talking about how to buy your first handgun. And a lot of what I talk about in episode 208 even applies if it's not your first handgun. So I'm going to give you some gun buying tips and things in there that I think you're going to enjoy in episode 208. So I think that pretty much wraps up this middle of the week show. These middle of the week shows tend to be a little bit shorter. It's just kind of a little middle of the week bit of information, and it's worked out pretty well. A lot of people seem to like them. You know, they don't want to wait a whole nother week to get another episode, and so we kind of give you a little bit of value, a little bit of extra stuff to listen to in the middle of the week, and then we tend to elaborate more on the regular weekly shows. So that's it. Those are some bad habits when carrying concealed. If you've got more to add, if there's something that you know you've been doing, feel free to call me on my voicemail, 210-646-1727. I'd love to hear what you have to say. I'd like to put you on the show. So keep in mind, if you call my voicemail, unless you tell me not to put it on the podcast, you're going to be on the podcast, and I will respond. 210-646-1727. Also, you can email me, bob@handgunworld.com. Oh, hey, there's something I forgot. Don't go away yet. Really cool stuff happening at the Shooters Club. That's the special little podcast membership that Ben Branham and I have put together. I'm giving away 3 training classes on February 1st. 3. These are cool classes, worth a lot of money, spectacular training. One of them is a free ticket to Point Shooting Progressions, taught by Roger Phillips of Suarez International, one of the best point shooting instructors in the country. He's coming to San Antonio. I'm the host of the class. I'm going to give away one spot to one of the Shooters Club members. That would be somebody who has signed up for our annual membership. I'm also going to be giving away a ticket to Close Range Gunfighting, another 2-day class. I will be teaching that on behalf of Suarez International in May. That's also going to be in San Antonio. So, hey, you know, even if you live a long ways away, you get the class for free. That'll help justify your trip to San Antonio. San Antonio is a fun place to visit anyway. Both these classes are in the spring. The weather's going to be nice. Point Shooting Progressions is in April. Close Range Gunfighting is in May. And the third class I'm giving away is a ticket to any of the one days that me and Ben teach called Beyond Concealed Carry. Any of the one days, pick them. We're going to be doing them in some different cities in 2013. So we'll be announcing those. You can come to any one you want, complimentary, as our guest. So there'll be three winners. To sign up for the Shooters Club, all you got to do is head over to handgunworld.com and click the Shooters Club page. There are two memberships. It's good for an entire year. $75 for audio and video, $50 for video. $75 for audio and video, $50 for video. Proceeds help my show. You get some great podcasts and videos that you can't find anywhere else. And I'm also giving back $5 for every person that signs up now through the end of the year, so hurry up. I'm giving $5 back to the Gun Rights Radio Network. We've had lots of people sign up for this since we launched it in September. Lots of people have signed up since September, so Mark Vandenberg is going to be getting a nice check from me as a donation back to the Gun Rights Radio Network. So you're helping three causes. You're educating your mind with videos and audio. You're helping out the Gun Rights Radio Network, and you're also helping out the work that me and Ben here do at the Handgun World / Modern Self-Protection podcast. So with that said, thanks for listening to another Middle of the Week episode. I'm Bob Main. Your normal host is Ben Branham. I'm sure he's going to be back next week with a pretty cool topic. And so I'll go ahead and sign off like Ben does. Remember that your guns and knives are only tools. Your mind is the weapon. Train it well. Talk to you later.